Welcome to Pets Tell the Truth. This program is dedicated to understanding our animal companions on a deeper level. I'm Dr. Agnes Thomas, psychologist and animal telepathic communicator. I'll be your host as we listen to what our animal friends are saying and as we appreciate the way they view the world, their missions, and their spiritual insights. Last week, there was no programming on Monday. So I promised you that we would be doing my animal communication workshop part one and part two. This week we will be doing part one. 2 weeks ago, my guest, Dr. Michelle Davis, who is a PhD from Purdue University and a specialist in learning in children, including autistic children, was on the show, and we were talking about some amazing horses that have the ability to heal children and adults. I mentioned that I went there to meet this miraculous horse. Her name is Sweet Adeline. And I also mentioned that you could feel her energy, you could feel her aura about 15 feet away from her body. And when I walked into her aura, or her energy field, it felt like there was a gigantic angel with her wings wrapped around me. Michelle explained to us how Serendipity Stables got started. They're located in York Center, Ohio, which is about 8 miles north of Marysville. And she began with these horses. She didn't know that her horses were healing horses. And a woman called who had an autistic child, and she wanted her to have the experience of a horse. And so she brought her to York Center, to Serendipity Stables. And as soon as the child was catatonic, which means she couldn't move, she couldn't talk, she couldn't speak, she couldn't do anything. And she put her on top of her horse that she had at the time, named Magical Mac. And as soon as she got on the horse, she began to move. She sat up, and she began to feel a sense of selfhood. Infantile autism is a condition in which a child is bombarded by sensory information from the environment, like all of us are, but lacks the neurochemical in the brain called serotonin to inhibit this so that we're not, our nervous system is not overburdened with it. And what I did last week was I offered to my listeners, Michelle told us about the tornado they had and that it completely demolished the barn and the house, and that the healing horse she had there, she had three, two of them were killed in the tornado. One named Sweet Adeline was in the barn, and she braced herself up against the people in the barn. There were 13 people, and she saved their life by pressing them so the tornado couldn't lift them up in the air like it did the other two horses. And as a result of the tornado, she had a tremendous loss, and she is trying to make do. She is scrubbing floors 12 hours a day for other people, and this is a PhD, to buy food and grain and hay for the horses. She has repaired the farm, but it still needs a lot more. So I made a special offer for my listeners. A private consultation with me runs between $35 and $50, whether you take it for 20 minutes or 30 minutes. My introductory workshop is $125. And I'm going to ask the listening audience to look inside their hearts and make donations to the farm. And in return, starting today, I'm going to give you my workshop over the radio for free. This week will be part one, in which I'll talk about the science behind animal communication. I'll tell you how it actually works. And in the second week, which will not be next week because next week's the Labor Day, but the following week, part two, we will be practicing how to communicate with animals. Donations of any amount can be given, and the money will surely go toward the care and the maintenance of these miraculous animals and repairs from the tornado damage until Serendipity Stables gets back on its feet. If you have a pen and paper, please write down her address. Serendipity Stables is a nonprofit organization. Your gift is tax deductible. You can also offer to donate some time, being a webmaster. All that is tax deductible too. You can make your checks out to Michelle Davis. Her address is 21721 State Route 47, West Mansfield, Ohio, 43358. You can also visit their website, www.magicalmac.com, to see the articles written about these wonderful healers. Today's show is brought to you by Garnett Publishing in Cleveland, Ohio. If you would like to have your ideas put in print and share them, contact them at www.garnettpublishing.com, or you can telephone them at area code 216-458-6100. They are the publisher of my book, Pets Tell the Truth, and also my wisdom cards, Animals Tell the Truth Wisdom Cards. Let's begin my workshop. I have my presentation right in front of me, and you're going to get it just as like my students would get it. And the very first thing you need to learn is to have respect and honor the animal as a fellow being. And I'm saying this because we're animals too. Humans are members of the animal kingdom. And it is absolutely natural for us to communicate with them. Our brains are already hardwired for this. And there was a time on Earth when everybody and everything was in rational correspondence with everything else. And we fell away from those times. Nobody knows for sure what happened. But humans started to think with the left side of their brains, the language side, and abandon using the right side of their brain to communicate. Telepathy itself means long-distance feeling. It is an impression of everything that that being feels, hears, tastes, smells, and experiences at any moment in time. That impression is picked up by the telepath. It's filtered up through the brain, and then it is translated into language. It's not language itself, although the message is very clear. Sometimes when you talk to animals, you will get a verbal response. Other times you will get a picture response, meaning that there will be a scene that flashes across across your forehead, the screen of your consciousness. It's almost like watching a movie. For me, it's mainly visual. Other people hear it. Other people feel it in their heart. And others just get a knowing. And when you take an animal communication workshop, my workshops are limited to 15 people so that I can be sure that everyone knows where on their body they're receiving information. Just like if a telephone rings, we don't know someone's trying to contact us until we pick up the phone and it rings. And then we find out. And we receive that information through hearing. But there are many ways to receive information in your body. I need to tell you about something that's called the heart connection. There are threads of energy throughout the entire universe. They go horizontal, vertical, and transverse in every direction. These threads act as telepathic channels to connect one being with another. For animals, it's their channels to connect them to their home or to their person of significance or to other animals. For us, it means much the same thing. Animals call this the heart connection. It is the connection between their person or their owner. I hate to use the word owner because it implies that they're an object, but it's between their person and themselves. The heart connection is something that is made of pure love, according to the animals, and it's something that you learn to see when you learn how to communicate telepathically. The best I can describe it is that it looks like a distortion of air above a heat source. So if you have a candle and it's sitting on a table, as the fire warms the air, it expands and it also rises because warm air rises. Anything that is behind the candle looks distorted. And this is something that you can see through on the screen of your consciousness when you contact a person. You contact them and then you follow the heart connection from that person to their animal. Supposing somebody calls me, and most consultations are done over the phone. Supposing somebody calls me and they say they want to talk to their dog and it's a black lab. Well, there is probably a million black labs in America. So what you do is I tune into the animal. I have a description of the animal, and I tune into the animal through that the person's voice on the phone. I connect with the person, and then through their heart connection, I locate their animal. Once I'm sure they have their animal, then I can open up a three-way conversation. There's some interesting research that's been done by Valerie Hunt, Dr. Valerie Hunt from UCLA. And this comes from her book and her work called Infinite Mind. Valerie was studying the nerve conduction in the body, and she had needle electrodes that would go into the person's arm to measure how fast the nerve would make a nerve impulse would make a muscle contract. But she noticed that even before she, and it would make a signal, a waveform, a sine wave. And she noticed that even before she put the needle in the body, that she was picking up a signal outside the body that was lower in amplitude but faster in frequency. And she did something very clever. She hired about 20 people that were psychics that could see auras. Now, Valerie couldn't see auras, but she hired these 20 psychics to be her subjects in her study. And when she would place her needle near the body, they would tell her that there are different colors around the aura. And she'd say, tell me when I'm in the middle of the yellow. And they would say, okay, right now. And then she would record from that color. Tell me when I'm in the blue. And she'd record from that color. And she found that different colors of the aura have different frequencies. She found that when she put the needle in skeletal muscle, it oscillated, or its vibration was 250 cycles a second to 400 cycles a second. When people were thinking about what they had to do today, their job, or what they were going to have for lunch, their aura vibrated at the same rate, 250 to 400 cycles a second. She measured mediums, the aura of mediums that were in a trance. And while they were in a trance, their aura vibrated at a very narrow band between 800 and 900 cycles a second. She also measured the auras of mystics, and she found that they vibrated up to 15,000 cycles a second. And she found others that were healing people, like Maria Esperanza, and their auras, which is their energy field, vibrated at 200,000 cycles a second. So this is very consistent with what we know about if you want to evolve spiritually, you raise your vibration. I'm going to tell you about an experiment that was done. It's a typical experiment that I did in the laboratory when I was a psychologist, called a reaction time experiment. A woman or a person, subject in the study, places her finger on a button, and she's instructed to press the button whenever a light goes on. And the experiment was set up where there was an electrode recording from her human energy field, or her aura, EEG to the brain. The mind was a subjective appraisal. And she had wires connected to her finger. When the light went on, here's what she found. The human energy field responded in 1/10,000th of a second. The brain in 1/10th of a second. The mind in 1/2 second. And the finger 1/2 second. So if you look at that data, who's making the decision? It was the human energy field. And from her data, she and also Barbara Brennan, who happened to be one of her subjects in the study, concluded that the mind is not in the body, that the spirit is the mind, and the brain is a decoder of sensory information, of energy and information. And Barbara Brennan says that the human energy field is the spirit, and that we are not a spirit with a body inside of us. I mean, we're not a spirit with a body with a spirit inside of us, excuse me. We are a spirit with a body inside of us. There was an experiment. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is when you connect with an animal, you're not connecting with their brain. You're connecting with their spirit, which is the aura. The aura does not die when the person dies. It's still there. And when you connect with an animal in the afterlife, there is no difference between communicating with an animal that's alive in the physical dimension or communicating with an animal that's a spirit in the spiritual dimension. It's the same thing. So if you're connecting with an animal that has passed on, it no longer has a brain or a body. So you can't be connecting with the brain. There's an interesting experiment that was taken place at the University of Arizona by Gary Schwartz and Linda Russer. And it was done in collaboration with HBO. And they had 5 psychics participate: George Anderson, John Edward, Ann Gelman, Laurie Campbell, and Suzanne Northrup. And what they did was they hooked these people up, and they had one test subject, and her name was Anne. They hooked these people up with physiological recording devices. They did, again, the EEG, the EKG, which is a measure of the heart, breathing, and galvanic skin potential, which is an indication of parasympathetic activity. Because people are critical of psychics, what they did was they had the test subject measured for his baseline physiological responses. Between the test subject, or between the psychic and the test subject, was a lead shield, so he could not see her. She could not give him any feedback in terms of body language, and also she couldn't give him any feedback in terms of language, because she was only allowed to answer yes, no, or my name is Anne. So he has pattern A, and this was true of all 5 subjects, of all 5 psychics. The psychic has baseline physiological responses A. The test subject, Anne, has baseline physiological responses as B. As soon as he says, hello, my name is John Edward, and she goes, hello, my name is Anne, all his physiological responses became pattern B, which is hers. So he literally tuned in to Anne. All his physiological responses became hers. Then he started to do a reading. And when he did the reading, since she's only allowed to say yes or no, he does this reading, and there's an entity that comes through, and it's a man. And he sees this man in his third eye, across the screen of his consciousness, and he says, there is a man here. He's slender, he has brown hair, and he's saying he's your husband. Has your husband passed? And she says, yes. As soon as he identifies the man, his pattern goes from A, which was his, to B, which is hers, but then it connects. Only the heart, the EKG pattern, changes to pattern C, which is not neither hers or his. So the question is, how do you get an EKG pattern from a sentient being or a spirit? There is a study by Vladimir Poponin, who was a Russian scientist that was on loan from the Russian Academy of Science to the University of Wisconsin. He is a microbiologist and a nanobiologist, which nanobiology is having the smallest is the smallest particle of matter. He had what he did was he took a bell jar. Now, for those that have never worked in a science lab, a bell jar is simply a thick glass jar shaped like a bell, and it has a top, and you can put some surfactant on the top. And you can vacuum out all the air, so you create a vacuum within. And he was studying the behavior of photons, which are the smallest particles of light. And he ran a laser light, which is the straightest light known to man, through the jar. And he was recording the activity of the photons. And he's discovered that he got random activity. Then he opened the jar, and he scraped some cells from the inside of one of his students' mouths. He placed the cells in the jar, and again he put the top back on and vacuumed it out again. When he did, he shined the laser light through it again. And he found that just a few cells changed the behavior of the photons so that he obtained sine waves. So he got a signal of electrical energy from the cells. Then he removed the tissue, washed out the jar, put the lid on again, and he vacuumed it again. Then he spread the laser light through it again. And he found that even in the absence of the tissue, the sine wave or the signal would remain. And he concludes that this is evidence for an energy trace. Wherever light hits our body, or any cells in our body, that energy is still there, even though the cells are gone. That's how you get healing in special sacred places. I don't know if you know about the Akashic Records, but there is something called the ether. It's the background fabric of the universe that makes form possible. Some people call it the Akash. I think Edgar Casey was the one that called it the Akash. It's also called the blueprint in time. And everything that anybody has ever done is recorded in the Akash because it alters the behavior of the photons, which is light. The reason I'm telling you this is that when you communicate with an animal, you first have to be humble enough to recognize its spiritual qualities. Just like the experiment with John Edward, when a client calls me, I connect with the client, and I follow her connection to her pet. This all takes place in this energy grid that I've talked about. David Bohm called these the implicate order. meaning that all possibilities are in this grid, and anything manifest is the explicate order. When Rupert Sheldrake, a biologist, studied this, he said that he called them morphogenetic fields, meaning the origin of form. And he believes that these act as telepathic channels to connect one being with another, an animal with its home, and so on. Animals say that this grid is made up of pure love. And at every intersect in the grid, where the vertical and horizontal lines cross, or a transverse line crosses, there is a life form, whether it's a human or an animal or a plant or sand, for that matter. And this is how you do it. You go from the telepath, I tune into the client, and then the client's heart will show me where the animal is. Once I reach the animal, then the animal shows me everything he is connected with, including members of the family, members of his past family if he's been rescued. And I can have a conversation with the animal if it's still thinking about its past family or past abuse. I can release that animal by letting him say goodbye, because he will show me that, and I will tell him to say goodbye. And when he does, that person or that being or that situation will disappear. Animals are totally connected to everything. If you can think of a net covering the earth, and think of a flock of birds flying and being covered by a net, and the birds act as a group mind. They have what's called an oversoul, and that mind orchestrates the behavior of that group. So if you've ever seen schools of fish going in the same direction, birds flying in unison, herds of cattle running a certain way. They run almost in waves, but that's because they operate as a group mind, and the oversoul is telepathically connected with all the other members of the group. This grid, which has been measured by Bruce Cathy and has been written about also by a woman by the name of Lynn Taggart, who calls it the field, and she claims that the grid exists even between cells. So it's the way cells communicate with another cell. Cell to organ, organ to brain, all through these telepathic channels. If any of you are familiar with the work of Alex Gray, he's a visionary artist, and one of his publications is Sacred Mirrors, and he shows what these grids look like and how the body is connected to it. But for now, it's simple to think of it as a net. And it extends as far as the eye can see into infinity. It goes also deep into the center of the earth, like a diamond, like facets on a diamond. That is what I call the telepathic field. Once you get into the telepathic field, you're really connected with the universal mind. And you can talk to anything. You can talk to a mountain or a lake, or a flower, or a blade of grass, or a stone. I've had some very interesting conversations with stones. It's all the same thing. You're tapping into the universal mind. Here are some keys to good communication. It's important to understand that it's natural. It is the ancient language of the peoples of the earth. Your attitude has everything to do with it. If you see animals as fellow beings and recognize that they have a spirit or a soul just like yours, you will be humble enough to communicate with them. It's easy if you see them as fellow beings. There's something called courtesy when talking to a spirit. If you talk to an animal, you must first ask its permission. It can say no. And usually it doesn't, because they like it, because humans talk to them. Because they talk to us all the time, they just think we're deaf. If you appreciate their spiritual qualities, it will go very easy for you. And here are some of them. Loyalty, friendliness, humility, joy, unselfishness, trust, patience, honor, devotion, and appreciation. You need to be always mindful of respect, that you are connecting with a spirit, a sentient being, not just the brain or the body of this animal. Another important factor is to believe in your own telepathic abilities. Be receptive and be emotionally peaceful. There are two things that will interfere with the receptivity of this kind of communication. One is alcohol. The second is pain medicine. Those are the only two. If you have a headache, obviously you're in pain and you're not going to be able to do it. So just wait for another time. When you receive a message, and I'll tell you how to do that shortly, don't try to figure the answer out. Just accept whatever you get in whatever form it comes, and it's going to come very fast. When you talk to an animal, you're going to get an answer before the question's out of your mouth, and it's going to be 1/10,000th of a second, because you're talking to spirit, and it's so fast that it's going to take you a moment to put it together into words so you can express verbally what you've experienced. Just accept whatever you get in whatever form it comes. Don't edit. Don't say, oh, that can't be. Because you will find out what it means later, even if it doesn't make sense right this minute. Don't invalidate your own perceptions. Whatever you intuit, whatever you hear, whatever you see, just accept as it is, because you may not understand it. But later you will, because they'll add something to it or make it clearer. If it's really unclear, you can ask them to clarify. Don't worry what others think. When I first started doing this, I was a very respected professor, and I didn't want others to think I had gotten into something that was like the occult. Now, I don't care who knows, because it is the most wonderful thing that has ever happened to my life. Don't worry about what you think. This is a new experience for you. It's something you'll never regret, and it is life-transforming to really have an intimate communication between you and an animal, especially a wild animal. It is breathtaking to communicate with a wild animal. They are so totally free to be what they were born to be. And it's very important that you practice with your friends' animals. What I did when I was learning this is I wanted to be sure that I could prove what I was doing. And I decided that if I could filter it through science, then I would make it believable for me. I could talk about it. I could describe it to others. What I did was, when I first learned how to do this, I learned how to do it in a single day, and I teach it in a single day. And I would go home and practice with my friend's pets. I'd call them up, and I would say, can I talk to your cat? And they would say, yes. And then I would talk to the cat, and I would say, tell me where you are. And they would show me they were in the closet, laying underneath the brown dress, and there were red high heels on the floor. And I would relate that to my friend, and she would go and look in her closet, and there the cat was. The more accurate I was, the better it was, because the more convinced I was that I was getting something accurate and it could be proved. I would call another friend, and I would ask what their dog is doing. and the dog would show me that he's looking out the front window at a bunch of kids in the yard playing baseball. And when I did that, I would write down every single thing that I saw, and I would write down how many kids were there, how many were boys, how many were girls, approximate age, 5, 6, 7 years old, 8. How many were had jackets on, and what colors were they? How many had baseball caps on, and what colors were they? And then I would drive there, get my car, and go and drive there. And I was astounded how accurate it really is. It was just like I wrote down that I had received from the dog. It was exactly the way the dog showed it to me. That's what you need to do to make to convince yourself that you're really getting it. There's a certain way, and you should write this down if you're taking the course, to identify animal communications versus you trying to figure out an answer. First of all, the speed of the answer is very, very, very quick. Many psychics take my course, and when they do, they are astonished how fast the answer comes. Psychics are used to just intuiting something and then trying to interpret what they were feeling. But this is actual words and a vision, and it happens very, very quickly, and they are astounded because it's nothing like intuiting something psychically. Speed, absolutely the best indicator. The second indicator is the content of the answer. The content, if it comes from an animal, is always benevolent. It's always positive. It's always loving. Nothing ever negative. If you get an answer that you believe is negative, like I hate, it's not coming from the animal because the animals don't discern between love and hate. That's the third clue, the absence of judgment and dualities. By judgment, animals do not judge anything because theirs is a world of non-duality. In other words, they don't identify black and white because for animals, everything's on a continuum. There's no hot or cold. Everything is a continuum. I'm going to ask you next week, I will go through the actual meditation to go into an altered state. You must go into an altered state at first to learn how to do this. And an altered state means simply that you go into a quiet place and you just meditate, a meditative state. You just quiet your mind. Once you do that, I'll ask you to look at a scene, and the scene I have in front of me, it's a in picture form, it's the bank of a stream, and on the other side of the, you're supposed to be standing on this side of the stream, and on the other side of the stream is the animal you want to talk to, and there's a bridge that crosses the stream, and it's very important not to cross the bridge and go on the other side, because the point is to keep you grounded in the physical dimension while you're communicating with the spiritual dimension, which is representative of the other side of the stream. And I'll go into that in more detail later. But you can communicate with the animal if you see yourself going across the bridge, but you need your physical brain to decode what you hear. So you're not going to, when you become grounded again, you're not going to be able to talk about your communication because you need your brain to decode it and to remember it. You also don't want the animal coming on your side of the stream because you don't want to invite spirit to come into your consciousness that is not yours. And so I will teach you how to do this in part two. As we do part two, we're going to ask the animal simple questions like, where do you sleep? What is your favorite treat? All questions that their owner can validate. The best way to go about this, and this will be in 2 weeks, is to get a few friends together and bring some photographs of pets. We're going to start with animals that don't belong to you, so that when you ask them a question, the owner of the pet or the person of the pet will answer you and validate your communication. So you're going to say, show me where you like to sit. And they'll show you a big sofa or a big chair or something. And what you're going to do next week is try to notice as many details about the scene as you can. And when you relate that to the person, they will validate whether you have it right or not. So we don't want to start with our own animals. We want to start with somebody else's animals. And we want to start with photographs because it's easier and you're not confused with body language. Many people have a hard time communicating with their own pet because they get confused by body language. Even I have a hard time. So what I do when I want to talk to my pets is I close my eyes and pretend they're not there. And then I just communicate with them with my eyes closed, so that if they walk away, I'm not interpreting their behavior because their spirit is still talking to me. I'm going to tell you a little bit about the difference between the animal mind and the human mind. And this is worth writing down. So I'm going to give you a chance to get a piece of paper and a pencil. This information is in my book on page 62. My book, again, is Pets Tell the Truth. You can hear my kitty in the background. He caught one of these little toy mouses. Okay, these are the differences between them. Make a list on the left called animals and a list on the right called humans. First of all, animals give very fast answers. Humans give slow answers. And the reason they do is because they have an ego and they need to filter out how they're going to express an idea, and that takes time. Animals have simple answers. Humans have complex answers. Animals know that they are connected with all. Humans believe themselves to be separate from all. Animals are non-judgmental. Humans judge everything. I asked animals why humans judge everything. And they said that we have been given the gift of co-creation with God of our own species and of our planet. And in order to create something, we need contrast. If we want to create gray, we need black and white. Have some sort of concept of black and white. That requires the concept of individuation, selfhood, and separation. Animals, because they don't judge, do not experience these dualities. They don't experience hot, cold, pain, pleasure. Everything is on a continuum for them. Humans experience dualities and polarities. Animals don't have any priorities. That would require a value judgment. Humans have priorities. If you ask an animal, how do you feel, they'll say fine. If you ask them if they're in pain, they'll say, yes, my foot is broke. If you ask a human, how do you feel, they'll tell you they have a thorn in their side and it's, you know, number one on the list of their priorities. Animals experience timelessness. Humans are very much time-bound. In our world, we produce it almost every 15 minutes, and we're used to it. We go to work at a certain time. We have lunch at a certain time. We have to schedule our day around time. Animals are not aware of time. They know daytime and nighttime, and they know supper time, but they really do not know days or weeks or months. The content of animals' answers are always benevolent, always. For humans, the content varies. It depends on our appraisal of the situation, and we place a value judgment on it, whether this is good behavior, bad behavior. Animals live in the present moment. Humans spend their life living in the future and the past. And there's research to show that for humans, 70% of our time is spent worrying about the future. We rehash the past over and over again, trying to put something together that it has the most probable positive outcome in the future. Usually we worry about money. We spend 20% of our time exploring the past and wondering if we should have turned right or left, and only 10% of our time in the present moment. Animals experience life. It appears that humans try to avoid it in order to avoid pain. Animals see themselves as spiritual helpers. Humans see themselves as the body or the ego. Animals are connected to the universe. Humans believe that they are self-contained. Animals know they're eternal. Humans believe themselves to be mortal. Animals think all is as it should be. The world does not make, or the universe doesn't make any mistakes. Humans think the world needs to be fixed. Animals operate from a unified perspective because they are connected to all other things. Humans, seeing themselves as separate, only operate from a singular vantage point. For animals, love is unconditional. For humans, everything is conditional. Animals do not understand the concepts of right, wrong, good, or bad. Humans dwell on the concepts of guilt and shame. Now, if you put a line under those two columns, the column on the left, which is animals, you can sum up as love, truth, and facts. Under the column for humans, you can sum up as opinions and preferences. So if you now look at the two columns, who appears to be more evolved? Looking at the column where animals have their characteristics is like reading about Zen Buddhists. Animals exist on a higher spiritual level than us because they have transcended dualities and the concept of separation. That's an absolutely necessary condition for spiritual growth. We are running out of time, so I'm going to tell you what you're going to need in 2 weeks. As I get it up on my computer here. I'm going to read you the course description, and this will involve what we're going to do next week. You'll need paper and pencil. You'll need photographs of animals, and we want you to start with animals that are alive, and then we'll practice with animals in the spirit world. Get a few friends together, and listen to the program. This course will introduce the student to the essentials of telepathic communication with animals. All humans have the ability to communicate with animals, but have forgotten how to use this skill. This ability can be easily restored by understanding a little bit about how it works, which I talked to you tonight, and a little practice. Here are the supplies that you will need. Pencil and paper. A small vase or similar object. We're going to practice moving objects around the room. Photographs of your animals and those of your friends or neighbors for practice. Your own pets or neighbor's pets if available. For best results, one or more persons can take this course at the same time. In the beginning, it's best to practice with photographs of pets so you will not be confused by the animal's body language. We talk to our animals all the time, and we know by their body language what it is they want. But we want to talk to their mind. So we want to eliminate looking at body language. It's also beneficial to start with a photograph of a friend or neighbor's pet, so you won't have any preconceived notions of what the pet's answer will be. And we leave the pet owner or the pet's person the responsibility of telling us if we're right or wrong. I can't be there with you to hear your answers, so we're going to rely on your neighbors. There's such a thing, talking to spirit, as spiritual courtesy. Afford the animal the same courtesy and respect that which you would give to any human being. Ask for permission to speak. Say, may I speak with you? And I'll go through this with you next week, or in 2 weeks. Ask the animal if there is something that they would like to ask you. Because they're curious, they're connected to you too. If an animal connects with me, he connects with everything in my house and everything that I'm connected with, including my animals. When you're finished, say thank you. Now I release you and you can release me to the animal. So the animal knows that your conversation has ended. Animals are fellow beings. Remember always that although animals have a different form than humans, they and all life are made of the same spiritual essence as you. Animals say that creator and creation are the same. Everything in creation is connected to every part of creation because it is the creator himself. If you respect and revere them as fellow beings in creation, it will broaden your awareness and enrich your life. Connecting with animals in this way is nothing less than life transforming. I wish you the best of luck on your spiritual journey, and join me 2 weeks from today to learn how to communicate, to go through the meditation, and to exchange your answers with your neighbors and friends. I will guide you along the way. If you have any questions, you can email me at talktopets@aol.com. I will take phone calls next in 2 weeks. If you're having a problem with the meditation, you can call. You can call the station. If there is a particular topic you would like to hear about animals after the next 2 weeks, please mail me at talktopets@aol.com or visit my website at www.petsteltheTruth.com. If you would like to have a personal reading for your pet with me, email me at talktopets@aol.com and I will email you my phone number to schedule an appointment. My fee is $35 for 20 minutes, $50 for a half hour. And I want to remind you again to be very generous with Michelle and give her a donation. It's tax deductible. Her address again is Michelle Davis, 21721, State Route 47, West Mansfield, Ohio, 43358. Or you can go to their website, www.magicalmac.com, and look at the articles written about these wonderful healing horses. I'm sure they will be very grateful for any help or work that you can offer in exchange for what you're getting on the air tonight and in 2 more weeks. Have a lovely Labor Day. Stay tuned to listen to my friend Allison Bauman with numerology. And I want you to remind you to listen to my friend Atira Hatton, who is on BBS Radio Thursday evenings at 7 for Metaphysical Straight Talk. Atira is a gifted psychic who can tune into your heart's mission in this life. She is associated with Edgar Cayce's Association for Research in Enlightenment and is a sought-after speaker on spirituality and metaphysics. Thank you very much for listening, and good night.